Our first guest is Regina McGraw, a lawyer for Upstate Medical University, who is also a nurse who witnessed firsthand the events unfold in New York City that day. Welcome, Regina.
Hi.
Tell us, how did you, first of all, you were a nurse first?
Yes.
And then became a lawyer? Tell us about that.
Yes, I was, I've been with SUNY as an attorney since 1999, but 12 years before that, I became a nurse, and I worked as a nurse in Philadelphia in emergency and trauma. And when I joined Upstate as an attorney, I found that to be a full-time engagement, so I retired my nursing career.
So how did it come that you ended up in New York City on that day?
The morning of September 11th, all of the SUNY attorneys ventured down to New York from all over the state. We were having a retreat to reflect on the new HIPAA law, actually. And so the attorneys from Syracuse, we flew into JFK that morning, and then we were meeting at the SUNY College of Optometry in Manhattan.
So to help us unfold the events of that day for you, you arrived at the airport and then?
Arrived at the airport, took a cab to SUNY Optometry, and we arrived there sometime, you know, right between 8:30, quarter to 9, and stopped in a little coffee shop to get some coffee, and then something was off when we were leaving the coffee shop, and it's literally right next to the College of Optometry.
Where was that situated in Manhattan?
It's Midtown Manhattan. Not sure exactly what street.
Okay, but you weren't down by the Twin Towers at that point.
No, we were overlooking the financial district.
Okay.
So we went into the optometry building and took the elevator up to the top floor, and as we got off the elevator, some of our colleagues were already in the boardroom looking out the window, and we could see that there was a plane in the first tower.
Oh, my God.
So it was on fire. Yes, we saw it out the window, and we said, gee, you know, what's going on? And we assumed it was a commuter plane. We just, you know, it was odd. It was on fire. So we were watching this unfold, and as we watched it, within, you know, several minutes, we actually saw another plane coming around the window. And we watched the second plane hit the second tower, and then we knew it was not an accident, and it was something very, very severe.
Oh, my God. How did you feel? What did you do?
It was astonishing to us. We immediately tried to get information because at that point, we knew that there was an attack, and it didn't make a lot of sense. But when the second plane hit, the cell coverage went down, the televisions went out. So we were really trying to get information, and we had been able to get, people were just making, you know, frantic phone calls and trying to get any kind of television reception. And we were hearing reports that in D.C., the Pentagon had been, We had been hearing that there was a bomb that went off in the Washington Mall. The Pentagon was hit. And so we knew something else was going on elsewhere. And really, we were just waiting for the next plane. We didn't know that was going to be the extent of it in New York. So there was a great deal of confusion and not a lot of information.
So tell us what you did. I mean, obviously you were waiting at that point to see if there was another shoe to drop, so to speak. But then what did you do and how did you get involved?
We decided as a group that we should go to the closest hospital and volunteer. You know, back then, this was not that many years after the Oklahoma City bombing. And what was going through our minds at the time was that there's a lot of injured people. There's going to be a large demand for blood. And so as a group, we went to St. Clair's Hospital, and at that point they were literally outside the hospital on the street breaking people up into volunteers to donate blood and healthcare workers. And I was the only healthcare worker in the group of lawyers, and I was then separated from my group. So I was taken into St. Clair's, and they had us sign in with, there were a lot of people that had come to volunteer there, a lot of nuns actually, that had shown up there to help sort of coordinate what was happening at St. Clair's. And we were assigned by, you know, whatever our profession was and our specialty. And at St. Clair's, I was asked to take, they had some outpatient clinics to set that up as an emergency area.
A receiving area for people who might be coming.
Yes, it was near the emergency room. And so I, you know, did what I could with what supplies they had there to sort of prepare it. But within a short period of time, we realized St. Clair's was not going to be getting injured people, although they did get the call that they were going to be the site where the children that were in the daycare center, they would be the designated pickup place for parents to come and recover children. So at that point, the nurses and the physicians sort of bowed out of it, and we were actually taken down to St. Vincent's Hospital. There was a group of us, about seven of us, and when we got outside St. Vincent's Hospital, it was very interesting. There were doctors and nurses and people lined up in scrubs outside the hospital waiting, and then there were citizens on the other side of the street already with pictures of loved ones and signs and looking for their injured loved one. But there were no patients at that point. Anyone that had been received at St. Vincent's was already in the hospital. So again, another group was mobilized. You know, there were a lot of police vehicles, there were a lot of EMS vehicles, and they drove a group of us down to Pace University.
Did you have an opportunity to actually treat people, I guess is the point? I know that you were being moved from place to place. Did you have a chance to really help?
Well, once we got down to Pace University, the administrative floor, they asked us to turn that into a makeshift hospital. It is across from City Hall. It was in the middle of, during the day, it's what the New York City disaster people, that's where they were set up. It's what was being referred to as Ground Zero.
So you were really right there at Ground Zero, finally.
Yes.
And working with people.
And we were waiting for injured people. And as the next few hours unfolded, it became clear to us that there were no more injured people. We began to treat the first responders, the firefighters. So the firefighters were coming in. There was a great deal of debris floating around, and you could not be out without getting things in your eyes, and it was very difficult to breathe. And so we set up a, you know, eye irrigation system. We were numbing eyes and irrigating eyes of firefighters who would not be stopped. They insisted on going back. So we basically were just doing eye care and respiratory care.
Had the buildings fallen by that point? We're really running out
of
time.
Yes, I'm sorry. The buildings, yes. We actually watched the buildings fall from optometry before we decided we should leave.
Now, you said in a little bit of time we have left that you also had some respiratory problems following that because you were exposed to all of that.
Yes. I mean, after I was able to get out of Manhattan that night, I was able to get to Albany and then get home from there. The breathing, I already, you know, had a, I have had asthma my whole life, but it exacerbated for me. I suffered for a couple of weeks.
Just in a few seconds we have left, did you feel like you were able to make a difference, and how has it changed you to be a part of that?
I was glad that we were there for the firefighters. I think it was very difficult when we realized that there were not a lot of injured people, that people had perished at, you know, mass numbers. And that was very difficult. That was not what we had expected. And that was shocking and numbing, and still is.
Yeah. Very difficult. And I don't know what to say except thank you so much for coming in and sharing that story and your recollections, and also for all the efforts that you gave that day. Regina McGraw, thank you so much. I'm Linda Cohen. We have to take a short break. We'll be back with more recollections of 2001, 9/11. This is HealthLink on Air, FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.